Since 1937, the lights of spiritual guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to this another edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. And what a privilege it is for me to be able to share a sermon preached by my father titled The Second Coming of Jesus Christ, preached in a camp meeting setting. And we have been talking about heaven, the coming of Christ, songs that relate to heaven, and we want to be ready, don't we? And I hope that the message will be a blessing to you as we share it this week as well as next week. And I want to ask you to pray for me as I am involved this weekend and next weekend in a camp meeting in Mount Vernon, Ohio. The great Camp Syker Holiness Camp Meeting starts on the 18th, actually started this past Thursday, and will conclude next Sunday a week on the 28th of July. So do pray for me as I'm preaching the evening services at Camp Syker in Mount Vernon, Ohio. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience, for those who faithfully tune in every week. Regardless of where they are, Father, I believe that you're there with them. And what a joy it is to get a letter from someone that says, just keep preaching the truth, keep sharing the message. And that's such an encouragement to receive a letter like that. Precious couple over in the state of Ohio who support the program, new supporters of the program, and we're grateful for that. We've never met them. But Father, you're using this program to touch the lives of people out across the country in Ohio and Illinois, Kentucky, North Carolina, and Indiana. And I pray that you just continue to do that. Bless the stations that carry the program, most of them secular stations, and we're thankful that they're willing to do that. Be with those who are sick and shut in and cannot get out to church this weekend. Be with them, I pray, in a special way. We love you today, Father. Thank you so much for your love in our lives. I pray and ask all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. As always, we just need to mention to our listening audience, in case someone's listening for the first time, we're a faith-based, listener-supported program, have always been that since 1937, and I hope that you'll think about, pray about supporting the program. It would mean so much. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, Loman Ministries, that's L-O-M-A-N, ministries.org. Click on the Venmo or the PayPal tab. Thanks so much.
In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
This rock is Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one.
So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. These verses in the 9th chapter of the Hebrew epistle, those of you that are familiar with gospel truth would draw an immediate conclusion as to what the message would be about in this service tonight. I want, as the Spirit shall help us, to speak to you for a little while on one of the great cardinal truths of the New Testament, that truth regarding the return of the Lord, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the promised and looked for Messiah coming back after his chosen bride. I recognize that we're living in a day when this is a neglected truth. Not much is being said about it in many areas today. In fact, I have paid particular note in recent years in many of our holiness camp meetings that seldom do we hear a message anymore pertaining to the promise of the Lord that if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there ye may be also. But the fact that it is a neglected truth doesn't change the truth of it one bit whatsoever. It still remains to be a great cardinal truth found on the pages of Holy Writ. Some ask the question, why is it being neglected? Why isn't there more emphasis being placed upon this truth than there is in this day in which we live? It could be that it's because of the times that we live in now, the times that Paul spoke about when he said this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and from such turn away. It's an evident fact that men that do not believe in this truth are not going to include it in their message. It startles me these days to no end to find on every side so many people questioning the inspiration of the Scripture and whether or not we can depend upon the authenticity of this truth, whether we can stake our immortal souls upon what it says. I'm glad that the liberal trend, the trend to modernism in this day, has never affected my faith in this book one bit whatsoever. I still believe every word in it, from the first word in Genesis to the last amen in Revelation. I believe every portion of the 66 books in this Bible. While I may not understand it all, yet I've often said I thank God for that portion of it that I do understand and have a spiritual thrill in my soul because of a faith that believes all of it that I don't understand. I can't understand or comprehend for the life of me how that God could prepare a virgin that you might conceive and bring forth a child, and that child could be born out of unusual circumstances in a manger in Bethlehem, and a star hang over the place where he was born, and the angels take the message to the shepherds on the Judean hills and cry out to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. I can't understand or comprehend how that a man could walk up Golgotha's hill to the place of the skull, be nailed to an old rugged cross, with an unfitted crown of thorns on his brow, a sword thrust into his side, and his blood run out of his veins and drip down on the rock-crested hill of Calvary. And they take that blood back to the mercy seat and sprinkle it there, so that in 1974, over 1900 years later, some sin-benighted soul could kneel at the place of prayer in Lakeland camp meeting and plead that blood, and it be efficacious to wash away the sins of that man or that woman and set them free and put them in the way that leads to life eternal. I don't understand how Joseph of Arimathea could take him off that cross, place him in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, those visiting the tomb found the stone rolled away, and someone said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." And how that he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs unto the apostles whom he had chosen after his own passion, and commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which promise was, "He shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And I don't understand it, I can't comprehend it, but ladies and gentlemen, tonight I believe that these experiences made possible to us by God's gift into this world by the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and makes me believe without question the truth that I read in your hearing tonight, that declares that Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I know, beloved, that questions have been left in the minds of many people. There's been an invasion of the holiness movement in these days of some men, and I say this not to be unkind, but they question the truth relative to his coming. And this is one preacher that believes he's going to come back again, and I believe he's coming after his chosen bride, and I believe that the bride is made up of born-again people, blood-washed multitudes, people that have been redeemed from a life of sin that have permitted the Holy Ghost to completely control every fiber of their being. When you say, "Mr. Loman, tonight, why is it that there are so many intellectuals in this world and theologians that question the truth relative unto this revelation that has been given to us in the Word of the Lord?" I'll admit to you that it's a tragedy that the men that have been educated to fill the pulpits across this country have come from the schools of learning. Many of them that used to believe in the fundamentals of this book have their faith crushed, only to come back to fill a pulpit across this nation and question the deity of God, the inspiration of the Scripture, the virgin birth, the atoning blood, the resurrection of the body, and this truth that is so important tonight. I read some time ago that Professor Lubbs of Brian Mawn College one day decided that he wanted to find out how the preachers felt about some of these all-important truths. And he wrote a book, or he found a book, that was written on the belief of 1,500 ministers. And he took those 1,500 ministers' names from 20 different denominational bodies in America, and tabulation was made. This was what was revealed. 30%, 35% said they were not sure of the omnipotence of Almighty God. 91% said they could not be sure that there was a personal devil. 75% said they did not believe in the virgin birth. 71% said they did not accept the truth relative to the atoning blood. 50% did not believe in his bodily resurrection. 82% did not accept the New Testament as the complete final revelation of God to man. But my friends, while that might shock you and stir you to no end, I've referred to this in this camp meeting before, but Professor Betts of Northwestern University some years ago said that he was alarmed in teaching a class of a group of men that were to be pastors and ministers across this nation. In his theological class, one day he questioned them concerning their belief of the Scriptures and their belief concerning the fundamentals of the faith. And he said it caused such a stir within his soul, and he decided to draw up a birth. They were first. Do you believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ? Second, do you believe in the atoning blood as the only remission for man's sins? Third, do you believe in the resurrection of the body? And fourth, do you believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ? He said, I took the yearbooks of the major Protestant denominations across America, did not include one Jew or Catholic, and I sent 1,000 questionnaires to those preachers selected at random. And when the returns came back, he said, my blood almost ran cold in my veins when I found out that 90 or 84% said we do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And 89% said we do not believe in the atoning blood. 94% said we do not believe in the resurrection of the body. And 99% said we do not believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when you serve the woman tonight, if that be true, then why do you contend that this truth is important? I'll tell you exactly why I believe that it's important in these days. Because this book teaches without question that Jesus Christ is going to come again. And there is no doubt in my mind as to what the book has to say. Over 300 references in the New Testament alone prove the fact that what Jesus promised, and he's going to perform. And if you'll allow me to, for just a few moments tonight, I'd like to remind you of some of those outstanding truths that he's given to us that prove the fact of his coming. John the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in the words of my text tonight, in Hebrews the 9th chapter, verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Look at Paul's letter to Titus in the 2nd chapter. He says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And read the 2nd chapter of the 1st epistle of John. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he doth appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. In the 13th chapter of Mark's gospel, and when you see all these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. In Acts, the 1st chapter, it declares, why, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? For this same Jesus, and that ye have seen go away, shall come again, as ye have seen him go away into heaven. And if you'll study the word, you'll find that in Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning with verse 3, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, Master, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. He shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations, even for my name's sake. And many shall be offended, and shall betray one another. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. For as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. And watch therefore, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And it also declares, be ye also therefore also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. But Paul in his writing, ladies and gentlemen, declared that the Lord himself, the Lord Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and those that remain and are alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. This mortal shall take on immortality, this corruptible incorruption. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there are a lot of other scriptural references, but that's enough to convince me that this Bible teaches without question that Jesus Christ is coming back again one of these days to catch away his waiting bride.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship, and if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. I hope you'll tune in next week at this same time, and in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.